Welcome to the Midlife Rise and Thrive podcast. I am your host, Dr. Sarah Poultney. If you have been wondering how to feel your best in mind, body, and spirit as you navigate through midlife, then this is the show for you. Each week, I'm sharing accessible education, heartfelt stories, and exclusive interviews. We will be talking about everything from health and wellness to sex and relationships and the many challenges and opportunities that come with midlife. It's time to take charge and live fully with intention as you write your next chapter. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Today, I welcome Sarah Cart to the show. Sarah Cart and her husband, Ben, were living their best lives in Florida when the pandemic hit. During the pandemic, Ben, Sarah's husband, faced some major health challenges that were life-threatening. Today, we're going to discuss the lessons that Sarah learned navigating through such a difficult time in her life. And she just has such a beautiful story, and I can't wait for her to share it with you. Sarah, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm really excited to chat with you.
Thank you for having me.
So, Sarah, why don't you go ahead and give our listeners a short synopsis of everything you've been through, because you've been through a lot.
Well, in everybody's life, sooner or later, something is going to go wrong with the health of someone you love, a spouse or child, a friend, or a relative. And it happened to me in a way that I never expected, which is why I wrote the book On My Way Back to You. My husband, Ben, had an autoimmune disease that we were managing until all of a sudden we weren't. He got desperately sick and it was obvious that he was dying. And then the COVID pandemic was declared and all hell broke loose. 2 weeks after the world shut down, his kidneys failed. He ended up in the ICU and he almost didn't make it. I couldn't visit him. We needed a miracle. He needed a heart transplant.
Mm-hmm.
So my book is the story of what happened to us, how we navigated through the medical system and this family tragedy to come out on the other side. So,
yeah. Wow. To go through all of that during COVID, I know that in the field of medicine, there was a lot of behind the scenes things that maybe got a little bit of a glimpse on the news, but there was so much that was not really discussed unless you were experiencing it, like not being able to be with your loved ones by their bedside. And
I'm so aware that we got the happy ending when so many people did not.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% right about it. It's like the past few years were almost like a movie, like a science fiction type movie. It's hard to believe we lived through that and that it was actually real. So, you know, given that you went through such a tough situation compounded by a global pandemic, I'm sure there were some lessons on the other side. And I would love to have you share those with my listeners. You know, what did all of this teach you?
Among many other things, it taught me to trust my gut instincts. I certainly learned that you are stronger than you know, and there is always something for which to be grateful, even when all the wheels were coming off. If I could focus on that, it made getting through the day or the hour easier.
Well, let's start with the last one first, because I see a lot of people on social media with good vibes only and gratitude. That's easy when everything's going right.
Right. When the wheels were coming off, there were times even before he ended up in the hospital, as he was getting sicker, I found that we needed to take things day by day, which for us was very different than we had ever functioned before. Ours had always been a life of controlled chaos and a lot of fun. And suddenly every conversation was beginning with what hurts and how can I help? But you move from that on to getting by hour by hour, and you find yourself just grateful that he was able to swallow the pills without choking on them.
So you're taking the small wins
the small wins wherever you can find them. Even when he was in the hospital and at one point he didn't know who I was, the only way we could communicate when he was in the hospital was the overworked nurses would find time for us to FaceTime together. And the pain of having him not know who I was, at least he knew he had a mother and a sister and he wanted the message to get to them that he was doing okay. So
That's just hurtful. But again, if you go back to the gratitude of the wonderful people that were taking care of him and at the same time trying to take care of you as well.
Right. There was one particular day, he knew who I was, but everything was going wrong. His kidney numbers were bad. There were just so many things going wrong. And I went for a walk because that is one of the things that I try to do to work things out and to calm myself. And I ran into a friend and she asked how things were going. And I told her and I gave her the whole list of everything that was going wrong. And she pointed out, you know, he's in the hospital with all those doctors, and I'm sure he is their priority right now. And how lucky you are that he's not home with you in a panic. And it just sort of set everything back right side up for me and made it so I could breathe at that moment, which was something I really needed.
So getting yourself back into a state of gratitude was just basically being in the moment and saying, wow, he swallowed a pill and I'm grateful for that. Or potentially leaning on some friends. And I have found throughout my life as well, I resonate strongly with that because we have to be careful who we surround ourselves with and make sure we try and surround ourselves by people that will lift us up. And again, not acknowledging your struggle. It doesn't sound like your friend was like, oh, no big deal. She was just trying to give you another way to look at it that's a little bit more positive, which I think.
Yes. And there were definitely those friends who said, oh, he's so strong. He'll get through it. You know, no, he's not the guy that he was years ago. He's not so strong right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the energy vampires and that kind of thing. You just learn to gently set them aside, turn away. Yeah.
I know. I don't know about you, but the older that I get, the more I'm careful about who I spend time in a room with, just because I know that they influence me greatly.
And I'm getting better at recognizing them and realizing when I need to turn and walk out of the room.
Absolutely.
Well, or hang up the phone.
Absolutely. So that leads into trusting your gut. Tell us a little bit more about how you learned to trust your gut through all of this.
There were times when this guy, who I'd known for decades, would start acting weird and you don't quite know how to call the doctor and not sound a little nuts yourself, to say, he's just being strange, odd. But I learned to push through those. We're very lucky that our doctor knows both of us very well. And so knows that I'm not inclined to panic unless perhaps a little bit of panic is worthwhile. But just making myself make that call and say, this is, something's really odd here. Please help.
Yeah.
So, and also, you know, infections, looking at something and knowing that my husband's not hearing me as I'm saying, we need to work on this better, figuring out who to call, whose voice he would hear, who could get him to pay attention and get on board, or maybe even think that fixing whatever was wrong was his idea, figuring out how to make those things happen. And again, that was trusting my gut to go find that one particular friend who's a retired RN and knowing he thinks that she's just the cat's pajamas. He'll listen to her.
Yeah.
And having her come in subtly, oh, I just happened to drop by.
Right. And it just happened to be there. Yeah.
I just happened to be there. That was pre-COVID. But yeah, trusting to say something that this isn't normal. We need to work on trying to fix this. So.
And sometimes we know something's not normal and we think, oh, I should say something. But then we have fears, insecurities, or, oh, they're going to, you know, think I'm crazy.
Yeah. And you don't want to be judged. You don't want to put yourself out there as a lunatic or display your paranoia or your hypochondriac tendencies.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So just pushing past any of those insecurities essentially is what it is.
Yes.
And keeping your eye on the prize might be another lesson, right?
Through all of this. Absolutely.
Staying in gratitude, trusting your gut, keeping your eye on the prize, making sure that you're getting your needs met. All of this. I mean, we can learn so much from you. So let's roll right into you are stronger than you know. I guess you felt a sense of strength coming out on the other side of this.
I did. Well, there are a couple of things. As he was getting sicker and sicker, I kept saying yes to every long-term opportunity that came along. I mean, we both fully expected him to die, and he was being very generous about talking with me about things asking me questions like, what are you scared of if I'm gone? And trying to help me work through and understand that I would be okay. You know, saying yes to every long-term opportunity that came along, I was really trying to give myself a future by constructing a healthy framework where I would have to participate with the world beyond my grief.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have been sitting in the back of my closet with my thumb in my mouth. But then there was also, when he finally came home from the hospital, where he'd had the undivided attention of a team of doctors and nurses and technicians and people serving him 3 hot meals a day and janitorial service to come in and clean up after him. He came home and it's COVID and it's me.
Yeah.
Like, hi, honey. What would you like me to do? What do you need me to do for you? Which was everything, because for a whole lot of reasons, well, he had a broken hip as well when he came home. And so he came home in a wheelchair because they weren't going to be able to work on the hip until he was strong enough for that. He also had a bed sore. I'm an English major. I'm not a nurse. I don't do blood. I don't do sera. And suddenly I was the person. We were supposed to have daily healthcare visits from registered nurses. And those, because of COVID, did not happen with the regularity that they were supposed to. And I had to do stuff that if you'd told me 5 years ago I was going to have to do it, I would have said, no, that's not going to be me. But I wanted him to get better. I wanted him to be able to get the hip surgery, which meant we needed to take care of some infectious issues beforehand. And so you just have faith and maintain hope and remain stubborn and fight the good fight and believe in the impossible and just show up and do the work. So that was what I had to do.
Did you treat yourself after you did all that work when you were on the other side?
My husband said, I think you've got some serious PTSD. Mm-hmm. And I did. So I went and talked with someone about that. And his comment was, he was wonderful. He was basically said, of course you have PTSD. You are now the patient in need of healing.
Right.
Which was wonderful. Yeah, the PTSD can be anything from the hold music from the hospital. I don't have to call the hospital and listen to it there, but every once in a while, it'll show up on something else, a bank or a who knows what. Or 9 months post-transplant, he had an episode of vertigo, but he'd never had it before. We didn't know what that was. So was this rejection? What was going on? And then on New Year's Day 2021, it must have been 2022, he wasn't feeling well. He went to get a test. He came home and said, I'm being so positive, I got a positive COVID test.
Oh,
so that's how, which was one of the things we'd been told he just can't get. But we'd been told that before the transplant, after the transplant, and after being properly vaccinated and all the rest. We weren't thrilled that he had it, but we knew it was okay. But in the moment, it's just a bit of a crisis.
Right. Absolutely. So when you say PTSD, do you go into shutdown mode or?
Conveniently, I suppose. It turns into hyperventilating a little bit, which reminds me that I need to breathe. And I try to do breathing exercises, or I try to stop and, you know, listen for 5 sounds and see 4 colors and taste 3 things, that kind, or touch 3 things, do those kinds of exercises to just bring me back into the moment.
And those types of coping mechanisms are so important to have as tools, even if you haven't been through the kind of crisis that you've been through. I always tell my patients, like, learn a few breathing exercises to deal with everyday stressors, because if something big comes up, you're really going to lean on those. And wouldn't it be great if you were an expert in how to do that already?
Yeah, the one that I favor the most is to take a long time breathing out first, then breathing out anger and grief and overwhelm and frustration, and to just breathe out as far as you can, like squeezing water out of a sponge, and then inhale joy and gratitude and blessing and grace, and then do it all again. And, yeah, as many synonyms as you can come up with for all the bad stuff to get it all out and squeeze the sponge again, and then as many synonyms for all the grace and joy and beauty to breathe it all in. And that's been pretty effective for me. Another thing, if I can't sleep because the stressors are driving me nuts, is to just remember to think of being a baby and being swaddled up and taken care of. At a friend's mother's funeral, they sang a song about God holding you in the palm of his hand. Until we meet again, may God hold that Irish blessing. And I just think of myself being a baby curled up in the palm of somebody's hand, safe and being contained and cared for.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. What inspired you to take everything that you have learned and to share your experience with the world in a book?
Partly a lot of people saying, you know, this is an amazing story. You should write a book. I am aware that we got our happy ending and most people don't. But our happy ending wasn't assured at all. And I just wanted to show how keeping the faith and just keep putting one foot in front of the other, the only way you're going to get through it is to keep going straight ahead. NPR host Steve Inskeep talks about how fellow host Linda Wertheimer helped him with the concept of how to report bad news on live radio. And when he shares it as a metaphor for life, which is that you figure out the situation you're in, then you face it and you go on. There are moments in the heat of crisis where it's really hard to remember, but if you just stop and figure out the situation you are in and then face it, the only way to get through it is to get through it, keep going forward.
Yeah, that's lovely. So when a reader picks up your book, basically, is it just your story? How is your book structured? What can someone expect?
It's the hero's journey with Ben as the hero. He leaves home, suffers a traumatic crisis, and returns home changed. That's the short version. It starts with when he was first diagnosed with an autoimmune issue and how we faced that, the slippery slope, the support of the medical establishment, the challenges of trying to get someone on a transplant list, which is an amazingly intricate process of interviews and tests, all sorts of back and forth where they want to make sure that you understand what you're committing to. And then the reality of his being gone, trying to be a caregiver to him long distance for 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And then getting him home. And also the reality of, you know, getting him home. Not only was it me on my own, well, him and me on our own, working to get him better, but you keep coming back to, did he get this transplant for us to be so grumpy with each other? I mean, just the real raw, it's not like an Instagram
fairy tale
where everything's wonderful.
Yeah.
But we got some great lessons out of it. I mean, I mentioned that he was in a wheelchair, and after he finally got the hip replaced, he had to learn to walk again. He was also addicted to opioids, the painkillers for having been on them for 4 months beforehand. And the reality, we might be having a really bad day. We might not agree on whatever the minute crisis is right now. And we'll stop and we'll look at each other and go, look at you doing reciprocal steps as he goes up the stairs to march away from me because we're not speaking to each other anymore.
Right, right.
And look at me. I got out of bed and I don't have a hospital rail. You know, just it snaps us back to how incredibly blessed we are.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean it's always pretty. I love that.
You know, there are a lot of parts that weren't pretty, but we just focused on getting him through. And we are so grateful to all the family and friends, not family local, but friends local, family and friends long distance who were there to support us however they could, even at 6 feet apart wearing masks.
Yeah. It's crazy to have to go through something like that at that time. Wow. Well, thank you again for sharing your story and a little bit about the book. And I'm so glad that you did come out on the other side with
a
success story. So I feel like any of my listeners that are going through caring for a loved one should pick up this book. It sounds like it could be a great source of inspiration. And
well, it is a love story, a little bit gritty. But it has a happy ending.
Awesome. So. Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for being on the show. I've really enjoyed chatting with you, and I wish you and your husband continued success.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. I really appreciate the time.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening in. Before you go, I want to invite you to my culinary and wellness retreat this summer. Join me and a private chef from July 19th through 21st. Immerse yourself in cooking demos, restorative yoga, hiking, and more. Join me on a 300-acre farm and enjoy gourmet meals and reconnect with your inner self. Relax with me and learn about living your best life in midlife. Visit www.risingwomanproject.com to reserve your spot. This is the perfect opportunity to refresh your spirit and make lifelong connections. I hope to see you on retreat.